certainly good to be here this morning, as always. I'd like to call your attention this morning to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I want to speak to you for just a moment of time on what the Lord has called us to be. What the Lord has called us to be. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter writes these words, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's stop right there. Peter tells us that we have been called to gird up our minds. To gird up our minds. So this is something I think is very vital for us today. What does it mean to gird up the mind? To gird up the loins of the mind. We dress a little different today than they did 2,000 years ago, and so we have to have some historical understanding of what it means to gird up the loins. Today we love our blue jeans and our slacks and our pants, but in this day and age everybody wore tunics. And tunics were very similar to dresses. They slit in the front and they went all the way down to the ankles. And if anybody was going to get anywhere quick, if anybody was going to run or do anything, the first thing that they needed to do was to gird up their loins. And so they would take the bottom of their tunic and they would take it and they would pull it up and they would place it in the belt so that the knees, below the knees, was free to move about. It would be much like trying to run in a long dress. Trying to do anything in a long dress is hard to do. I know it is. Looking at you bending over or trying to put stuff down, it looks uncomfortable. And so it was in these days. And he says, gird up. In other words, pull up those things that are hindrances to your mind. That's what he's saying. If you're going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to put off those things in your mind that are going to slow you down, that are going to hinder you. So he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, there are many things that enter into our mind that are hindrances. Some things that needed to be gird up. Some things that need to be put away. You know, far too often we, instead of looking for the future, is what Peter is trying to get across here, to look to the future with anticipation, our viewpoint is to look to the future with worry. How many of us fear the future? We look to the future because it is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow brings. But Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. That word hope means to look in anticipation. The word hope means anticipation. So we are to anticipate the future rather than dread it. Yet so often we allow our minds to be ungirded, and it causes hindrances to our spiritual life. When our minds are ungirded, our growth is so slow. Our growth is so slow. Instead of walking by faith, we tend to walk by sight. And so it's a reminder, especially in this day and age, to gird up our minds. We look at the political climate in our nation, and true, it can cause some very heaviness on the mind if we allow it to. And that's why Peter reminds us to gird up your minds, to make your minds ready, to make your minds established. He reminds us in another place, he says, but sanctify the Lord God always in your heart and be ready. Be ready. That's what the girding up means. It means to be ready. To be ready. You know, when Moses was in Egypt and the night came, the night before, that they were to go out of Egypt's land, God instituted a very special dinner for them. It was called the Passover. And if you are a student of the Bible, you remember how they were to eat that Passover. They were to eat it with staff in hands and loins girded. They were to be ready to go. And that is how we are to be in our Christian walk. We are to be ready because Christ, our Passover, has come with the promise that He is coming again. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Be sober. That word sober means to be serious, to be solemn, to be sincere. There's a problem in Christianity today, and that problem is we don't take Christianity seriously. The Christian walk is not taken serious. Peter says, be serious. Listen, dear child of God, following Jesus is not playtime. It's serious business. This is your life. If you are a child of God and you have professed that Christ is your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, it's serious business. And it is to be taken seriously. Your relationship with the Father is serious. I want you to imagine a marriage when one party of that marriage did not take the marriage very seriously. As if they counted everything as just a joke. Oh, you're being funny. Didn't give the spouse the time that they needed. Didn't give them the respect they needed. Didn't listen to them. Didn't communicate with them. Everything was a joke. It was just to have a good time. What kind of marriage do you think that would be? It would lack substance, don't you think? It would. And so it is with our Christian life. When we don't take it serious, when we don't take our marriage to Christ as a serious thing, it will lack substance. Not because the substance isn't available, because in Christ there is more than we could possibly ever want or need. But it's because we don't take that substance serious. We're not seeking after it. And that's why Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is Christ telling you to do? He's telling you to take it serious. There were those that came to Christ and wanted to follow Him, but they said, let us do this first or that first. He says, don't even bother. Why? Because you're not taking it serious. Gird up the loins of your minds, be ready, and be serious. Be sincere. He says, and hope or anticipate to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason we are to take it serious, the reason we are to gird up our minds, to be ready, and to lay off those hindrances in life is because of the grace that is coming. There's a greater day coming than today. There's a day when the full grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to finally be fully revealed. See, brothers and sisters, we only know in part. We only know in part. Even Paul, as much as Paul knew, Paul said, I know in part. And I prophesy in part. But there's coming a day when I will see face to face. In other words, Paul said, there's coming a day when the full grace, the full revelation of Jesus Christ is coming, and then I will know. All that Christ has accomplished for us will one day be realized. We know some of it. And oh, how good that some of it is. Amen? It's a wonderful thing, but that's only a small portion of what we know. He says, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, which tells us that we can be disobedient children. We can be disobedient children, but as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, don't dress the way that you used to dress when you didn't know any better. That's what he's saying. And what he's talking about is not clothes. He's talking about moral conduct. The way that you live your life. Don't adorn yourself with hatred and envy and jealousy and evil speaking and lying and gossip and all these things that bring shame on Christ. These things which you did in times past when you didn't know any better. But as obedient children, in keeping with the example of Jesus Christ, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but as it is, as he which hath called you is holy, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, as he which hath called you is holy. That's big shoes. Jesus Christ is the epitome of righteousness. He is righteousness itself. There is no pure holiness than the Lamb of God. Look at how Jesus conducted his life, who when he was reviled, not again, yet we so often when we are reviled, and that means to be spoken evil of, when we hear of people speaking evil of us, we're the first one to fire back those insults. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he was closed-lipped. Jesus didn't gossip. Jesus spoke the truth, whether it was popular or not. He averted his eyes from beholding things that were not pleasing unto the Father. He was holy, and so because he was holy, we are to pursue holiness in all manner of conversation. All manner of walk, wherever you are in your life, workplace, marriage, any avenue that defines your life, you're to pursue holiness in it. Let me close with verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Peter says, if you call on the Father, if you pray to God, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, if you claim Christ as your Savior, basically is what he's saying. If you are claiming Christ as your Savior, then you are to pass the time that you have in this earth with fear. That's what he says. You are to live a life that is in accord with that. Too often we find people calling themselves Christians, which means Christ follower, that are not Christian. So you have to be a follower of Christ to be a Christian. That's what it means. So he says, be holy. Be different. Now this is what we need in this world today. We need light. We live in dark times. This world is so full of darkness right now, and it just seems to be getting darker and darker. When human life is not valued, you live in a dark time. And we're living in a day where human life is becoming more and more less valued. We need light. We are born children of God, but then we are called by the gospel, by the good news of Jesus Christ because of what He has done for us, to live a life of light. We are to shine as the sun. Because when Jesus Christ came as the sun, He shone brightly. And we are to reflect that glory into this world. We need Christians who live in accordance with Christ today. And I trust that that is your minds, your mindset. I hope you have the mindset that I'm going to follow Jesus. It goes back to girding up the loins of the mind. What's your mindset? Are we going to be perfectly holy? No. You know what? We fail, we fall, we fall into sin all the time. But listen, Paul said, with the mind I serve Christ. What is he saying? He said, in spite of what I do in this life, I may stumble, I may fall, but in the mind, I'm going to keep the mind of getting back up and pressing towards the mark of the high calling. That's my mindset, is to be holy, to strive for holiness, even though I fall, because the grace of Jesus Christ still supports me. That's what it's about. And the reason we do it is because, as he says on further down, we won't read it, but he's redeemed us and he deserves that glory. That's why. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. And that is a life of gratitude. Thank you for your kind attention.
Amen to that.